This recording, South Africa 50, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comagat Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on the first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on the right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." Oh, I've got such a good traditional background. Okay. Come from a family where my mom's mom is Xhosa, African. My mom's dad is Irish. We grew up both an African and English way in the Transkei. My grandfather, obviously been Irish and well off after World War II, settled in the Eastern Cape. He had to register himself as a Xhosa. So it was quite an experience for us now as adults to have to know that this blonde, green-eyed, handsome gentleman was a Xhosa. He spoke it as fluently, if not better, than a South African Xhosa did. It's kind of led us as the mixed family to have lived and grown up and accepted everybody from different cultures. So for us, there's really no differentiation between people. We respect everybody, treat everybody the same, but we do hold on to our cultural backgrounds. We respect the African traditional way, right down to slaughtering. We used to slaughter ourselves. Eggs we used to get from the hens, the dens. We'd go and pick our fruit off the trees. We'd go on our horse rides. We'd do whatever was needed. We were 4 children. Interesting enough, because my dad worked at sea and my mom was into nursing, which explains why out of 4 children, each of us are born in different cities. I guess where I'm finding myself right now is I'm probably at the prime of my life at the moment. Passionate, enjoying every single thing I can possibly enjoy, irrespective of an acrimonious divorce in progress. And I'm looking forward to graduating as an adult learner very soon, I hope. I've got his birth certificate. And I have got his, what they used to call a pass back then. And this is the one where it's got this green-eyed, handsome bloke. And his ethnic group is Xhosa. She said, take that and take the birth certificate and go to the archives in Grahamstown and go and find the what's his name, and something about we would also have citizenship. We could possibly also get free citizenship to that side. I'm not sure. Myself, very fluent in Xhosa as a child. Obviously, English also formed part of our home language. And we couldn't speak a word of Afrikaans. Grade 4, that's standard 2, where I remember being not forced, but not had an option but to learn to speak Afrikaans. So that was like, you know, a very big adjustment for us because we had to. We had no choice but to learn to speak Afrikaans. You know, it's not that you soften up, but you start to see things from a different perspective. And you start respecting people in all sectors at any level, no matter where they come from, what they're going through, what they're experiencing. And for me, that was probably the most valuable. I'm getting emotional. That was probably the most valuable gift that my mom left us with, was accepting others in the space and the capacity and whatever condition they were in. And I think that's what kind of pushed me in the direction of always, because I was always passionate about people since a young age. And I think having come through my own trauma as a burn victim, being exposed to all of that, and then obviously with their divorce and without us realizing what that trauma did to us as well. How better to inspire a young child with something that you yourself have started experiencing? It's wonderful.